just for this opportunity once again to share your word, Lord God, to just to bring your word forth. And Lord God, we pray that right now you would just bless this word and use it for your glory, Lord God. We thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. So as I said yesterday, you know, we celebrated our nation's independence. And it was a day, you know, as people just mentioned here, it was a day where I like it because we get to blow off all those fireworks. And it's the one time a year where you can go crazy with fireworks and the police don't show up, right? And I'll tell you what, we had a lot of them going off on our street last night. I mean, amazing. We had a better show than they sometimes have at you know, one of the city shows. And I know my neighbor, every year, he buys a ton of fireworks, and him and I go out there, and we blow off a bunch. But we had them down the street, both ways. We had them on the next street over. We had them over a little way. All around us were fireworks. It was crazy. And it's also, of course, a day where a lot of people get together and have barbecues and spend time, you know, just enjoying the summer. It's really the big holiday of the summer. But it's a lot more. The 4th of July is actually a very important day in the history of our nation. And 244 years ago, there were a lot of people who fought. They shed their blood and their sweat and their tears to, you know, they were the earliest settlers in our country, and they made this declaration called the Declaration of Independence. And that's what actually happened on July 4th. And, you know, these people had left England because they were tired of this king. He was a tyrant, King Edward, I believe his name was. And now what was happening is here they came over to this new country, to the new world, so they call it, to the colonies. And all of a sudden now the king was starting to put all that stuff on them again. And he was raising their taxes up higher and higher, and the military were interfering in people's lives. They were just taking over people's homes. They did whatever they wanted, and they had no fear of being disciplined. Nobody was stopping them because the king didn't really care. All he cared about was that the colonies were sending their wealth, their money, and all their goods back over to England, and it was helping England to prosper. And these people had made tremendous sacrifices. I mean, they left their homes, they left their families, they left their country. They came over here and they were trying to tame the wilderness and you know, and live over here and do everything they could to build a new world. And they had escaped the religious persecution and the economic persecution, and they came here so they could worship God in the way that they wanted and have freedom. And now the very freedom that they came here to get, that they left everything behind for, they came here to get that freedom. Now this king was starting to take away all those freedoms again. And the final straw was when the king said, and now we're going to make you submit to the Church of England and worship the way we want you to worship. And that was, like I said, that was, as so they say, the straw that broke the camel's back. And they tried to speak to the king. They sent emissaries over. They sent letters over. They did everything they could to respectfully tell the king that this was not going to work, that they wanted to have their own. They already had their own Congress here. They had what called the Continental Congress. They'd already been, you know, building their own government here, and things were going along pretty well, except now the king was trying to take back the power. And so all these delegates came to a convention, and they signed what was called the Declaration of Independence. And there was a man there by the name of Samuel Adams, one of the founding fathers. And after he signed that famous Declaration of Independence, He said this. He said, "We have this day restored the sovereign to whom all men ought to be obedient. He reigns in heaven, and from the rising to the setting of the sun, let his kingdom come." Every man who signed the Declaration of Independence did it at great personal expense. They risked not only their lands and their money, they also risked their lives and the lives of their family. And even today, even though there are many people that right now are, you know, there's no better way to say it, but they're trying to take away our freedom. There's people out amongst in our nation, some of our own politicians, different people are working to take away the freedoms that these people fought so hard, you know, to get for us. But thankfully, even in spite of that, we still have one of the freest countries in the world. And as important as that freedom is for us as Americans, as citizens of America, there is an even more important freedom that's available to us. And that is the freedom that we enjoy, that we find, that we can only find in Christ Jesus. God destined us to be a free people from the very beginning. Only a free people can choose to walk in the destiny that God had purposed for them when He created them, when He created us. All the way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16 and 17, it says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" God told Adam he was free to eat from every tree. I mean, there's this whole giant garden. Now, you can eat on anything you want, but stay away from that one tree. Why? Because he wanted to restrict their freedom? No, because he wanted to protect them. That was the one tree that would harm them. And so he told them to stay away from it. But of course, Satan, the liar, the deceiver, the thief, tried to get them to believe that God was holding them back, that God was, you know, restricting them, that God was, you know, being mean to them, that he was trying to stop them from enjoying freedom. And so in Genesis 3:1, it tells us that Satan said this. He said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Now, God never said that. He didn't say they couldn't eat from any tree. But Satan starts to fill their mind with doubts about God. He starts to turn and twist the words of God and turn the word of God, he tries to turn it into a lie. When the word of God is the only truth there is. That's absolutely true. The devil still does this today. He's always trying to twist God's word. He's trying to make us have doubts in our mind about God. Unfortunately, as we know, Adam and Eve fell for the lies of Satan, and they lost their freedom, and ultimately ours too. Now, every one of us is born with this carnal nature, this nature of flesh that is enslaved by sin from birth. But Jesus has a message for us. And this is what he said in the book of Luke in chapter 4, verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim what, do you know? Freedom. Proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind and to set the oppressed free." He did that for us. Jesus died on the cross for us so we could be free. Free from the bondage of sin and death, so that we would no longer be prisoners, but instead we would be free to walk in all that He has given us and to be able to live with Him, to spend eternity with Him. So what I want to do today is take a look at just a few of the things that we've been set free from. The first thing that we're set free from, I sort of already mentioned it, is slavery or bondage to sin. Satan is a master of deception. When he tempts us to sin, what he's doing is he's telling us to reject the very principles, the very things that God has designed to protect us. And he tries to tell us that that's what's going to set us free, when in reality he knows that that's what will destroy us. He tells us, be free, try something new. Try something that will satisfy your flesh, your carnal nature. But he hides the fact that it can hurt us. He convinces us that we will be in total control. We can stop this at any time. But instead, we find that we get enmeshed into this sticky web of sin. It entangles us very easily, and it's a whole lot easier to get into sin than it is to get out of it. It ends up taking control of our flesh to the point where we become slaves again to sin. John 8:34, Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin." But thankfully, just two verses later in John 8:36, he tells us that if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. As I said, Jesus died to release us, to free us from the bondage or the power of sin. And sin is powerful, it's strong. But I want to tell you something. God is far more powerful than sin. The Holy Spirit living inside of us gives us the strength and the power to overcome, to be victorious over that sin. Another thing we've been set free from is guilt. Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience." God tells us in His Word that He remembers our sins no more. They're as far away from as the east is from the west. And He wants us to quit worrying about our past so that we can press on towards the future, towards the goal, towards the mark of our high calling. He wants us to walk in our calling and our destiny, the plans that He designed for us from before we were even born. And you know what? If we are burdened down by guilt, if we're always beating ourselves up, if we're always cutting ourselves down, if we're always looking back at what we've done in our past and how, no, we're really no good, you know, we're not going to go very far forward. If you're a runner and you're running in a race and you're always looking behind, you will never win. And we're in a race. We're supposed to run the race, the course that's already been marked out for us. So we can't let Satan bog us down in this quicksand of guilt. It's just not good, because he wants to run it over our mind like endless reruns, like what's happening right now if you're watching TV. And when I'm sure you've heard this in the past when the devil reminds you of your past, just remind him of his future. You know, the devil loves to condemn. That's what he does. He condemns us. And the Holy Spirit will also sometimes remind us of things that we've done, but he does it in a different way. The devil condemns to make us run from God, to hide from God, just like Adam and Eve did when they hid in their sin. But the Holy Spirit works it in a different way. He might say, you know, you did this, But he does it in a way, it's called conviction of the Holy Spirit. And what he does is he works in us to make us run to God. That's the difference between conviction and condemnation. Conviction, we run to God as our Savior, as our forgiver, as our the one who loves us. Condemnation from the devil makes us run from God and everyone else, even ourselves. We don't want to face ourselves when we're condemned. In Christ, we're also set free of our fears. In 1 John 4:18, it says, "There is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment." The one who fears, the one who lives in fear, still does not understand God's perfect love. If we really understand the love of God, how much He loves us, how much He will protect us, how much He cares about us, fear will not control us. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of self-control. See, God already knows that that fear is out there, so He's given us it. God's love will cast out the fear of death, or dying, or loneliness, or failure, or worry, or anxiety, or whatever our fears are. God is more than able, more than willing, and certainly beyond more powerful than anything that we need to fear. God's on His throne. He's in control. And we have to remember that God is in control. And if we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we don't have anything to fear. Jesus wants us to lay those burdens, those cares on Him. Remember He said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to Me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Sometimes we need rest from our fear. Rest from our worries. Rest from our anxieties. It's not just rest from physical labor, although it could be that. I mean, we get tired from labor, from working. But it's even more burdensome when we're worn out from anxiety, from fear, from doubt, from that guilt, from all those kind of things. And Jesus wants to give you rest from that. In Christ, we are also free from the wrath of God. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The blood of Jesus, when He died on that cross, He was the perfect sacrifice. And He paid the penalty for every one of our sins. And so the wrath of God is not on us now. We've been set free from that. When the devil tries to point out our sin, he's the accuser of the brethren. And Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus is pretty basically just saying, "Father, it's already covered. I've already paid for that sin." When God looks at us, He doesn't see sin. He sees the blood of His Son. He sees Jesus. Romans 8:1, "Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Satan had a place all reserved for us in hell. And guess what? That place is going to be empty now. It's like we're not going to follow the reservation He made for us. In Christ, we're also set free from the letter of the law. Romans 8:2 says, "Through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death." To be under the law means to obey God as a slave would, when we're bound by that law and we're trying to do every little thing by every word and stuff. The law was given basically to point out sin, to show us that We can't do it. Because if we failed in one area, we failed. And nobody on this earth, other than Jesus, has been perfect. And we could never fulfill the complete law. And so we would always be in this constant fear if we're living under the law. To be under grace is something totally different. That means we freely serve God as we are led by the Spirit. We're still obeying God's law. The Ten Commandments weren't, you know, tossed aside when the Holy Spirit came. But now we obey God not out of fear, but out of love. And in some ways, we obey even more because love is such a, it's a more perfect way to obey, because in true love, when you truly love somebody, you'll do more than what's written down. You go beyond. God's word tells us in Hebrews 8:10, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. So see, the law is here, but it's different. Now it's in our heart. And the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And the Holy Spirit will, if we, as we are led by the Spirit, you know, it tells us in the Word that those who are led by the Spirit are the sons and the daughters of God. And so when we are led by the Spirit of God will always, He always wants to bring honor and glory to God. And so He will constantly lead us to do what is right. And He will lead us away from sin. And even things that have a hint of sin. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. So the Holy Spirit now gives us the power, the ability to follow the law, but it's the law that God wrote on our hearts. Not a book of rules and regulations. It's a law of liberty and the law of freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Holy Spirit, He frees us up from a life of rules and regulations. That's not how God wants us to have to live. He wants us to have freedom in the Spirit. He guides us. He motivates us through the Spirit, through the power of the Spirit, through His love, to live the right way. To live to bring honor and glory to Him. Love is the most powerful motivator in the world. Far stronger than laws. Love motivates us not only to avoid sin, but just to stay away from anything that would once again enslave us, that would draw us in to that sin. It sets us free to be able to walk in our calling, in our giftings, to live a life that is above reproach, that declares the glory of God in all that we do. We were made to live and move and have our being in Jesus Christ, doing the will of God, walking in our destiny, being led by His Spirit. And that's what, you know, this things that are written on our heart, the Holy Spirit working in us, that's not how we can live. It's so much freer, so much more blessed, so much more joyful, so much more filled with joy. We weren't meant to be all bound up, all twisted and turned and tortured, always worrying, oh my gosh, what about this? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? That's not how God wants us. He wants us to enjoy this wonderful freedom that He gave us in Christ Jesus. Galatians 5:1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. He doesn't want us to go back to that. We have to make sure we don't fall for Satan's deceptions, because he's always coming around. He's always trying to get us back. you know, bring us back in, to give in to our flesh again. That's, he lives to hurt us, to destroy us. He's a thief. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He wants to rob and kill and destroy. He uses the same old lies. Oh, you're free. You don't have to worry about that. You can do anything you want. You're free now. He wants to trap us in that web again. Galatians 5:13 sums it up pretty nicely. It says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh or your sinful nature. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." True freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. It's not something our laws of our nation can give us. It's not something politicians can give us. It's not something we can get in a box of Cracker Jacks or earn, you know, from a contest. True freedom only comes from Jesus. He's the one who conquered death. We're freed from that. He's the one who defeated Satan. We're free from his control. He's the one who paid the price, the full price, for our release. He's the one who washed our sins away, and he's the one with the authority to set the captives free. And now he has a job for us, a job that should be a pleasure, but a job nonetheless. We get to be the bearer or the messenger of good news. We get to share the good news of Jesus, of salvation. And he's sending us, Jesus is sending us into the prison camps to proclaim the good news of freedom. Where are the prison camps? The prison camps are the hearts. They're the hearts of the men, women, and children that don't know Jesus yet. They're prisoners. They're in bondage. They're enslaved. They may not know it. They may not realize it. But they are. They either don't know the Lord, or maybe they did sort of know the Lord, but they've been deceived so much by the enemy that they're back under that bondage again. Sometimes even in our own lives, we find that there are areas where we still live in bondage to guilt, to doubt, to fear, to pride, anger, jealousy, whatever it might be. But God wants us to be free, and he wants us to share that message of freedom with all those that we meet. Whenever we have the opportunity, we're supposed to make the most of every opportunity whenever we can. And when God puts us in a situation, we're standing next to somebody. He puts people on our doorsteps. They come to our house. They talk to us. They're maybe they're working in our house. I mentioned a couple weeks ago I had a man I was talking to that was installing our air conditioner at home. I got to speak to him and share about Christ. I always look for those opportunities whenever, you know, somebody comes to talk to us, they, you know, somehow or other you see that God will open up a conversation where you can begin to speak about the things of God. So these prisoners are all over the place. They're everywhere. And many of them have been primed and are ready to escape the bondage that Satan has them under. But we have to be the one then that is there ready to tell them how to turn the key, how to get out. That freedom was secured on Independence Day, the real Independence Day that happened about 2,000 years ago, when Jesus declared that our sins were paid for. That was the real Independence Day. The day when Jesus blew the doors off of hell. When the chains were broken and the captives were set free. Those were the greatest fireworks ever seen. I'd like to have seen that. And now every time someone is saved, every time the works of the enemy are destroyed, Every time we enter into prayer, worship with the right heart, praising God, Satan's plans are blown up in his face again. He thought he had it made when he had Jesus on the cross. He thought he had defeated God. He thought he won the war when he had Jesus killed on the cross. Little did he know that he just secured his own defeat. He just destroyed all his own plans. They blew up in his face. And now he has no real power left except deception and lies. And we can expose those lies. We can expose those deceptions with the truth because we know the truth. As followers of Christ, we can measure our freedom to the degree that we have given ourselves to Christ. The more we have poured ourselves into God, the more we have allowed the Holy Spirit to fill us up, the freer we're going to be. The question is never whether will we be free or will we serve Christ. That's the way the devil likes to frame the question. You know, a lot of times it's how you frame the question is what's important. And so the devil comes and say, well, do you want to be free or do you want to serve Christ? And so he makes it seem like there's no good way out. But the real question is, will we serve Christ or will we be in bondage to our flesh, to sin, to Satan, or to the world? So the freedom is in Christ. The bondage is in the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we're free to make that choice. There's only one that leads to true freedom. John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Only in Jesus, only in Jesus will we be able to find the freedom that we want, that we need, that we desire. So I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward. And as they're coming up, I just want to do one more. Just after I was already all done with my message, I thought about one more thing that sort of we get freed from too. So I just sort of added it on here at the end. And that's from loneliness. You know, a lot of people struggle with loneliness. Everybody pretty much likes to have some alone time, but nobody likes to be lonely, day in, day out. And I was thinking of this scripture, and I've always loved this scripture. And this is the one where I really feel God is saying he's freed us from loneliness. He says in Psalm 68:6 that God sets the lonely in families. He leads out the prisoners with singing. He sets the lonely in families. Do you know what that family is? It's the body of Christ. God sets the lonely. He brings the lonely into the family of believers. Romans 8:15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as a child of God. And by Him we cry Father. So see, He's adopted us into His family. Galatians 6:10 talks about how we are part of the family of believers. God has brought us into a family, and we never have to be alone when we are truly connected and committed to the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We've got brothers and sisters all over the world. All over the world. Everywhere. I've got friends that in all different states, all over the country, that I sometimes don't talk to for months or maybe even years sometimes. And then I call them up And we end up talking for an hour, having a great conversation. And we both end up saying towards the end, boy, it's like we never left. There's a bond that is there for people who are truly serving God that have, when we build a relationship, and there's an immediate, there's that because we are connected through Christ, just like in a marriage. No marriage can be stronger than the marriage that has Jesus Christ at the center of it. God cements our relationships together. And when we join His family, when we're adopted as His child, we enter into something special, into an eternal family of filled with brothers and sisters in Christ. And none of us should ever be lonely. If we're lonely, it's because we're not involved enough. It's because we haven't really gotten involved. And we need to be. We need to be committed to one another. When one part rejoices, we all rejoice. How can we rejoice if we're not connected? We can't say, one part can't say to the other, I need you. It's all in Corinthians, chapter 12, I believe, talks about the body, tells about how we're all connected. We're supposed to be. It's important. Maybe some of you are watching today and you're not part of a body, a true, in flesh, real body. We need to be part of a body. We need to be part, connected, committed, growing, giving. That's where our gifts get developed. That's where our ministries get developed. That's where we begin to serve and love one another. There's so many one another's and together's in the Bible that we have to come together to do those things. It's important. And when we do that, this freedom begins to happen us inside of us to become the person that God created us to be. As the iron sharpens the iron, we start to find we're growing into that person that God created us to be. We'll never find that on our own. We have to be connected with other people. It's so important. If you want to find out who you are, get involved in the body of Christ. Get close to God. Follow His Holy Spirit. Be led by His Spirit. Okay, let's close in prayer. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank You, Lord God. We thank You so much that You're such a good God, that You paid a tremendous price. Lord God, You paid a big price when You sent Your Son Jesus to die for us. And Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for that sacrifice, for setting us free. Free to become the wonderful creation that You created us to be. For Lord, we know that when You created something, You don't make mistakes. When You created us, You didn't make a mistake. You made us special. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would be able to walk in that freedom to get to know who we are in Christ. To get to know who we are as we are led by Your Spirit. To get to know who we are as we function and are committed and connected to the body of Christ. We thank You, Lord God. We thank You for the freedom that You have given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So thank you. Thanks for coming out today. Glad you guys were all here. I hope you have a real nice rest of your 4th of July weekend. Thanks for joining us online. And so God bless you all. Amen. Prayer up here. If you need prayer for anything at all, right here, come on up. Work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free.
'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, and New York to LA, where there's pride in every American heart, and it's time we stand and say, today, 'cause there ain't no doubt I love this land.